So I get asked the question, why can't you get married, a lot when I run into people, especially non-Catholics or people who were Catholic and have fallen away. I used to get asked by Catholics who still participate in the church more, but since I became a deacon, they kind of stopped asking. So there's a subtext behind that question, or a few assumptions behind that question, just from the way it's phrased, why can't you get married? And those assumptions are basically that, well, of course, you must want to get married, and you would if you could, so the big bad church must be oppressing you. She's keeping you from doing something that you want to do. And that's because people, we live in this world that can't understand celibacy. It doesn't make any sense. And so they can only see it as a restriction or as a sacrifice, something that's being given up. And celibacy certainly does involve a sacrifice. Anything worthwhile does involve sacrifice. But that's only a very small part of it. The bigger reality is that celibacy is a tremendous gift. And instead of focusing on what's given up, we should focus on what's gained. So instead of asking the question, why can't you get married, a much better question is, why would you want to be celibate? And there's a couple of reasons for this. The first and most obvious is undivided time. So having a family takes a tremendous amount of time. And I've really come to appreciate this more as I've seen my friends from college get married and begin to have children. Anyone who's had kids know that they don't exactly take care of themselves. There's a million tasks that you have to do, big and small, packing lunches, taking them to the doctor, going to sporting events, and on and on and on. But even more than just sort of the chores that have to be done is that building and maintaining the relationships within a family between the spouse and the parents and the children requires a lot of time. You just have to spend time with each other, doing things with each other. And that's a very good use of time because those relationships are the means of salvation and sanctification for people called to the married life. But the celibate does not have those obligations. It's a lot easier to take care of one person than to take care of four or five or six or so on. And so that just means that there's simply more time left for service to God and to the church. And this is the answer that a lot of times people give, like, why can't priests get married? What's the point of celibacy? They focus on the practical. Oh, well, it leaves more time. And that's true, but celibacy is not just about practical matters. The real value of celibacy is having an undivided heart. This is what St. Paul is talking about in the second reading today. An unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is anxious about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and he is divided. Each of us has a limited amount of attention and care that we can give to people and to things. This is why you can't really have 1,000 friends, no matter what Facebook may tell you. And a married person has to have concern for more things of the world than a celibate person does. They have to worry about their job. Should they look for another job? Are they still going to have their job? They have to worry about their income. Are they saving enough? Are they able to provide housing and food for them and their children? And these are very important concerns that married people should be worried about. They should spend time working on because the well-being of the whole family relies on them. But a celibate doesn't have to worry about any of them. I'm always going to have a job. If you want job security, this is it. And I'm not going to be rich, but I'm going to have all the money to get the things that I need. I'm not going to have things that I won't lack things that I truly need. My housing is provided for me. I'm even told where to work. I don't have to worry about, should I go to a different parish? The bishop handles that. And if that sounds like an extremely privileged position, it's because it is. There's a whole slew of issues that people have to worry about and think about that just aren't even on my radar. And so that frees up a lot of my time and attention, and it allows me to pray a lot more, to spend more times dedicated to God and to his church. And so each day, with all the liturgy and the prayer that I do, I end up praying for at least 3 hours a day. And that's not because I'm amazing or I'm exceptionally holy, but it's because celibacy has given me the opportunity to do that. And because God has called me to this way of life, he has given me the grace to do it as well. And so all that time that I get to spend in prayer is a tremendous gift. And my married friends who I know, they do pray, but they have this real desire to be able to pray more, but they just simply don't have the ability to because there's so many things pulling at their attention. And so my prayer enables me to develop an intimacy with the Lord that's special. So in marriages, people usually, hopefully, get their main source of intimacy and encouragement and support from their spouse. It's their partner, their helpmate. Whereas the celibate gets that same sense of intimacy and support and encouragement from the Lord himself. And now I want to make clear that celibacy and marriage aren't opposed to each other. It's not like to build up celibacy, we have to denigrate marriage and say marriage is no good. St. Paul also makes this clear. It's a few verses after our reading today stopped. He says, "He who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do better." So marriage is a wonderful vocation. And that's the reason God calls most people to it, because it is a very good thing. But there's some that he picks out and calls to a higher state, so that they can be a sign of his presence in the world and to the life we are all, please God, heading towards. The celibate acts as a witness to our Lord in a special way. Now, at this point, you may be wondering, why is he telling me all this? I'm married. And that's a fair point. Most here aren't called to celibacy, but some people in this church are. And if we have a culture that appreciates celibacy, they will be more open to exploring that calling from God, more likely to accept it. But if we disparage celibacy or we don't understand celibacy, it might not be something they'll even consider. So if we want to increase vocations to the religious life and to the priesthood, we have to have a culture that understands and likes celibacy. But even more importantly, celibacy well lived is supposed to inspire the whole church. We live in a culture that is obsessed with the pleasures of the flesh, but the celibate, by his very life, says they're far from the most important things. We live in a culture that increasingly denies the supernatural, but the celibate says that there is more to this world than meets the eye. We live in a culture that claims the gospel can't be lived out in the modern world. It's too difficult. It doesn't make sense anymore. And the celibate says it is possible to be holy and to be joyful. Celibacy is one of the many gifts that Jesus has given us as a church as a whole and also to some individuals to help us to follow him better. And I'm very grateful for my own celibacy. Since I promised myself this past May when I was ordained a deacon, I've seen a lot of blessings come out of that celibacy. But I'm also grateful for the men and women who went before me, who showed me that celibacy was possible, and that by their lives, that giving up marriage for the sake of the kingdom is worth doing.